teams of scientists, technicians, engineers, managers, and development practitioners. Now, when we look at economy and employment, and some of the issues that the committee can raise with the department, and I think largely to an extent is the infrastructure programs as well. The extent to which these are progressing, the extent to which the money allocation is sufficient, the extent to which service delivery of targets defined by department for water service delivery to every citizen will be met. The other issue as well is wastewater treatment turnaround programs. I think that's also a critical issue in terms of pollution, in terms of local government municipalities and the manner in which that is managed. And then the last one is the recruitment program site technicians, engineers, managers, and development practitioners. I think everyone knows that the country is struggling with skills, more specifically with engineers and technicians. And the department has already begun to address it in some of the strategic plans, some of the targets, and the indicators, and the manner in which they will address it. So I'm not going to give too much of detail. I just want to give you a quick snippet of what each confronts. Then for the economic infrastructure, the department's work is aligned where they look at the development, operation, maintenance, and refurbishment of water resources infrastructure. Okay, once again, we have to take cognizance that water services delivery is a local government function. But because of the capacity in that sector, sometimes the department intervenes. And one of the biggest challenges I think that South Africa is facing at the moment as well is operations and maintenance of water schemes and of wastewater treatment plants. So we need to begin to interrogate that issue as well. Then an accelerated community infrastructure program is one component in the regional BOP infrastructure bond program, as well as the support to socially disadvantaged individuals. That's the one thematic area in which the department looks at aligning its work as well as action plans and targets. Then the transition to a low carbon economy, which I find quite interesting, and it's fairly recent. With regard to renewable energy and retrofit building, the Department of Mineral Resources, Department of Waterways, as well as ESCOM recently established a partnership to begin to look at sites for hydropower stations. So we in all of the committee also needs to engage on the progress made with that and what are the implications and what are the implications for the environment as well. Inclusive rural economy. Some of the programs are the water supply program, the accelerated community infrastructure program, the water allocation reform, and the regional bulk infrastructure program. For Africa in the world and the region, I think it's also important to begin to look at how water is used as a transboundary operation between different countries as well. And South Africa is no exception to that in terms of obtaining water from the region. But what's interested in that is the negotiations and the way in which the department engages with these countries with regard to treaties and other international documents. Okay, one of the important parts of the work of the department is the Learning Academy. And the Learning Academy tries to take a component of graduate training, of graduate training to Learning Academy each year, and then to provide them with skill strategies for managers, technical, provincial, and local government staff. Okay, now, whilst the department and its entities kind of take all of those work in line with government priorities. I think it's also critical to factor in the kind of challenges that are facing in the water sector in the country and the manner in which the department relates to it and addresses it. Some of the problems in the country are water scarcity, water resource infrastructure, floods and droughts, water demand, water quality challenges, inefficient use of water resources, sound financial management and accountability. I just want to touch quickly on sound management and accountability. In the previous years, the department has had poor audit outcomes, and it's last year that for the first time they began to progress. And although they received the quality with some emphasis of matter, at the end of the previous year, they ordered to work this last year, they were beginning to improve on the situation. So that's another critical issue that the committee needs to engage with the department on. And then I just put down the kind of questions that the committee can ask to the members with regards to capital investment in new water sanitation infrastructure. And the efficacy of this capital investment, and what are some of the challenges, what are some of the achievements that the department can highlight. And then the department has also put in a sort of intervention infrastructure program, which is called the Interim Water Supply Program. And this to realize the 2014 service delivery target. And we need to, the committee needs to engage on that. And then, okay, we have come back to the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. And that Municipal Infrastructure Grant is an equitable grant. And what municipalities have to do with that equitable grant is begin to plan and use the budget for different sectors. Water, environment, transport, public works within the province and at local government level. But what is happening is that one of the challenges is that in some instances the MIG doesn't go specifically to a specific function like water. And the committee needs to engage the extent to which and how they're engaging with local government with regard to either ring-fencing the MIG to specifically to water issues, or alternatively coming up with another arrangement with the National Treasury to sort of enforce that the MIG is actually spent on particular resources and not on other resources. Then the other issue. The water use licensing in this country is a huge problem, and more particularly in terms of equitable distribution. And there is the committee needs to also begin to engage on the progress made with that, and the number of water use licenses, and what kind of backlog there the department has at the moment, and the impact of those backlogs on job creation, as well as economic development in this country. Okay, the other issue that the chairperson referred to earlier as well is that the water boards particularly, under with the oversight of the minister over the water, in terms of water carriers, the water boards in conjunction with municipalities begin to
assist us here with the letter attention, if you don't mind. This is our meeting. If you don't mind, let it. We also need to switch off our phone. If they are not on vibration, you gotta switch it off. Thank you.
The manner in which water boards, municipalities, and the entire process of defining water tariffs is a very complex, complicated process. And the committee needs to begin to engage the extent to which water boards impose that kind, what kind of channels or means or mechanisms they use. Because I think for the citizens of the country, as well as for the department, unlike the electricity sector, where the electricity sector moves the tariff increase at different given times, this is a particularly difficult process of how they merge with tariffs. And the committee needs to engage with, should water tariffs also be regulated in the same way that electricity tariffs are? Because currently, the tariffs are quite low. Then the other thing is, how do you balance water resource management, which is a national responsibility through the regional offices of the department, and provision of water services, which is a municipality responsibility? And this continuous challenge is going to emerge from here till the next 5 years when we're engaging national responsibility versus municipal responsibility. And I think the department, in its engagement with its review of legislation, is beginning to look at the kind of differences that are emerging in its work and local government work. And then the other thing is that I think I need to educate members about the integrated plans of local government, because I think that is also an integral part of the planning of local government. And then the last one is that how effective is the support of the department to ensure water and sanitation services, more especially in strengthening institutional capacity, spending of the equitable share on water services, water quality, bring cost recovery and operations and maintenance. And I think the department has previously answered all of those questions, but I think it's time now to also fully engage with policy and legislative reform in the water and sanitation. I thank you so much.
morning, honorable members, colleagues, as well as members of the public. My name is Toman and I'm a researcher for the committee. What I'm going to do, I'm going to present the budget of the department. My colleague has looked at quite a number of issues, so I will try to be very brief. The outline of my presentation, I'll look at the introduction, list of entities, key legislation, which I think my colleague has looked at, alignment of policies that also have been done, and then I will also highlight some of the key grants. Also, then I will look, make an overview of the 2013-14 financial year, looking at expenditure there to measure the performance of the department. And then I will delve into budget analysis of the program. And then I will go for key issues that we have to consider for the presentation, which we can try to deliberate on with the department. That's my colleague has covered the mandate of the committee, so we know what we need to do. So what we are going to do today is to consider the budget. That is number D there on the spreadsheet. So I don't know whether this presentation has a lot of graphs which are colorful. So I think we need to maybe dim the light so that then we can see the presentation properly. Right. These are just the list of department entities which according to APP, I think there are 16. But then you will remember that two of the water boards have been
unable, as we use all these acronyms. You must also bear in mind that something that I also did not mention, all of us in the committee are new in the committee. Is that a fact? Anybody who was in this committee before? No one. But it is even also, and of course there are others who are new in Parliament. If you just, when we say APP and so on.
Okay. My apologies. APP is the annual performance plan of the department. That is the list of the entities. Wuchelo and Bushbuck Ridge, I think they've been discontinued, but that can, the department will confirm that. But I'm very sure of the Bushbuck Ridge that has been now taken over by the Lord. Just to show the legislation structure of the department, or how the legislation is formulated, or how it is informed. So the supreme law of the law comes from the constitution of the country, which then sometimes we find the country make an agreement with other international countries. And then from that, then from constitution, then we develop the national policies. In this case, the national water policy. And then from that, then you can see I listed three national policies, the water supply, sanitation, and then the national water policy 997, the Sikapul sanitation. And then from the policies, then we develop the act, which is the National Water Act and the Water Services Act. And the one that I've contained is the Water Research Act. And then from these acts, then we develop national strategies through which then we can implement programs. So one, the recent one which was passed last year, the National Water Resource Strategy, second edition, which is the NWRS. And then the strategic framework for water services, it had last year, so it's up for review. So I think then it's a good opportunity for this new committee to start looking at that, and then considering the fact that sanitation now it has been moved back to the Department of Water. So I think that is a good thing. Right. In terms of alignment with policy priorities, I think it's important to refer to the NDP as well as I think that is also something that will direct the programs going forward. So through that, then there are a lot of things that the department has done, which I think talks to the NDP, and as well as relation to the government-wide outcome agenda. So I also attached an example there, which shows, so that it's a copy from the APP, which I indicated earlier on, where it shows which strategy or a priority from the department talks to one of the government outcome agenda. So you can see all of them listed there. Right, then we move on to the grants. There is the regional bank, which I think she has talked to people in great length. But there is a definition of the purpose of the grant, what it's meant to achieve or to do. So, but I think the department will give more light in terms of what they are doing in this regard. Right, then overview of the financial year, how the department performed last year. In terms of the income that they received or the funding from the fiscal, it was 9 million, and then they spent 8.6 billion, no, 9 billion, my apologies there, and then they spent 8.6 billion. That is 2012-2013. And then last year they spent, they received 10.4 billion, and then they spent 10.2 billion. That is, the budget that I'm referring to here is from the fiscal. It's not, it does not include the income that the department receives from its businesses. Right, and then reason for under expenditure, there were issues around issues of the unfilled vacancies like the occupational specific dispensation, which I think from the reasons that I got from the department is that they could not source the required skills, so then that's why the NEC was not spent. And then unspent funds as well also on the regional bank infrastructure projects, due to the fact that they ordered materials from abroad and then took time for the materials to be delivered. And then the issue of the acidman drainage in Gauteng, which the fund was only spent, I think, last year. It was the end of last year before the year ended. Right, those I've talked to. And then main cost drivers between those 2 years, so 2013 to 2014, it was around issue of training and development, computer services, office accommodation, and then the development of the National Integrated Water Information System, which I think they will tell us what it is and what it does. And then also consultants, they spend a lot around consultants. Yeah. Right, then the distribution of expenditure, according to that the diagram that you're seeing now on the screen, it shows that a lot is going to transfers and subsidies, and that is the money that is going to municipalities through those grants which I just mentioned. And then the blue one, the payment for capital assets. So those they will explain as well, I think, but that refers to things like the dams or the property that the department owns. Right, and then the 2014-15 budget, the current budget which we are here for to look at and interrogate. I've put this one in a table so that we can see, but then I've got a gap also to compare amongst programs, which one received more, which one received less. But you can see I've also put the real change and nominal change. Real change, it only means that the allocation has taken into account the inflation component. So when... Okay, thank you. Then you can see there, compared all those things, you can see the administration, a large chunk of the budget goes to regional implementation and support, that is program 4. So we can proceed. I think the table has indicated everything there. So, but I think what is important, I think, is issues for consideration that will do the explanation. it would be injustice, in fact, to not consider these issues. So we know that the department requires 520 billion over 10 years to be invested in water value chain in order to satisfactorily deliver water services to the communities. And then the issue of transportation, that is managing or administering the acid mine drainage, I think it's important for the country to receive progress reports in that regard, maybe quarterly or whenever there's a major achievement. The other issue is also to clarify the involvement of the minister in the task team, inter-ministerial task team on service delivery, what is their responsibility today, and so on. And the fact that now sanitation has moved from Department of Human Health and Settlement, I think it would be important as well for department to also shed some light on how it intends to cater for that.
Members, we have a few minutes to engage with the committee sector. Thank you. Thanks for that. Welcome, Deputy Minister, to Chim. Any takers? Oh, no. No,
thank you, Chairperson. I must just appreciate the fact that on our behalf you have mentioned that we are all new in this committee, which means we may not have full understanding of issues before us. Therefore, limiting our role to make the to account. For example, the presentation by content advisor, Ms. Dowd, in her presentation, she mentioned one of the things that the Finance Management Act is a very important instrument that we could use to make the department accountable. One would have liked, I'm aware of the time constraints, if she teased out some of the aspects of this act which have a specific bearing on water and sanitation. One would have liked to see that aspect. And also, Chairperson, in fact, most of my questions are clarity-seeking questions. That is one. And some of the concepts are very new to us. Like, for instance, when we talk of water use licensing, what is that? We have areas, for instance, where we come from, where it is alleged that some farmers have appropriated the water licenses to themselves in such a way that local people do not have access to that water. Is it the same thing as we were talking about? And things like block tariffs, what are block tariffs? And also, lastly, the researcher talked about types of grants to municipalities. If one could get examples, because where we come from, Chair, we have water schemes which for more than 5 years have become dysfunctional. For instance, in my area, we have the first presidential lead scheme by the first president of the Democratic South Africa. That scheme has become dysfunctional. One wonders whether it doesn't receive one of these grants. Can you perhaps explain more on the differences of these grants that are given to municipalities? You will expose my ignorance of some of these concepts. It might be simple as that, one would like to understand.
Mama Basin.
As we all say, we are seeing you in the committee, and I'm sure we will need more explanation. I'm interested in the implication of drought and growth as far as water is concerned. I haven't actually seen any analysis of that in the report. And secondly, I'm also interested in how are we going to align these jobs with our NDP, as indicated in one of the papers here. The last one is about sanitation. I just wanted to find out, say, when are we likely to get this linkage? Because sanitation plays an important role now in our community, and we don't want it to be delayed. So when are we likely to get the two combined? Thank you, sir.
In the absence of any other question, Mama?
Ngiyabonga sihlalo kusuku. Mina nami okwami noma ngazi noma ngizophinda umbuzo osibuziwe. La masikhuluma ngamanzi ne-sanitation. Sanitation ngokwami anganomchazeleka kahle nokuthi mhlawumbe amanzi njengakoma-toilet like into enjalo. Khona la kukhulunywa khona ngama-informal settlement imjondolo. Ngempela bengimna bengacela nje ngathi mase sihleli la civil committee likhuluma ngamanzi senze sure ukuthi asiyenzi le nto yethiyori sikhulume lelo kuthiwa i-practical ngesingisi. Ngiqonde uphazi ukuthi ngiyavumelana nalaba abaseceleni bami abahlonishwa. Sinenkinga thina la sisuka khona ngenza ukuthi ngize ngasho ukuthi ngiyambonga uNkulunkulu kuzongena kuleli ikomiti lamanzi la ngisuka khona. From 94, ngakuthatha manje ngiyonikhombisa abahlonishwa, amanzi awekho, especially ezindaweni zasemakhaya. Nakhona kutholakala khona ukuthi khona lana abanye abavalela abanye abazithi
angatholakali.
Ngiphuma eKZN man. Kunendawo nje enzima ngendlela ongayazi, sibone njengoba sisenza le nto yama-door to door. Okunenkinga yabantu abahleli abanamanzi, abanamathoyilethi. Usizi abaleli kubona luyinkinga oyisimanga. Le nto yamanzi sangathi ngempela lesingathi msize likomiti ithathe kube yinto ngempela e-serious ngoba kunzima thina la siphuma khona. Abantu basawadla amanzi nezinkomo.
Can I interrupt you? Because this was just a briefing for the committee and then the questions are relevant to the department. Can we, if we don't have clarities on the to staff, can we just proceed to the department so that our questions will be covered by them? I don't think the researcher will be able to answer the question that we raised, but the department is relevant to answer it. Thank you, Chair.
Ngiyaqala mina ukuba la ePhakamend and njengoba ngifikile la nginey'nkinga ngempela esiziphathisiwe. Ngiyazi ukuthi ingane mayisayiqali esikoleni iba ney'nkinga namamisteki ngiqala lapho ningixolela. That's why ngithi ngifuna ukubeka ngolimi lakithi kaZulu ukuze ngingabi bikho ezokujomba noma ngisaba ukuthi nizongibeka. Ngiyaxolisa Nkosi yami nakhona la ngenze khona iphutha, kodwa nje i-concern yami ile yokuthi la ngisuka khona besenza khona udotidor singabaqali kadalo sibakhohlisa nje abanye banamamitha njengoba ngikhuluma nawo nje babethenjiswa amanzi lawa amahhala ku-300 liter per day. Awekho kuyimanje banamanzi asishulwa la manzi ngey'kweleto esingaziwe qhamuka ko-200,000 akanabusha lo muntu akashuki izikhumba. Ngiyabonga.
We'll take the last the hand of the center reserve. Babu Ola Kalo Ola Kalo, sorry. Followed by Mr. Postman. That's all.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
This is just a point to one, members. The whip is correct. In fact, the challenge that we might have, I can't allow everybody, though, to ask the question or to raise any issue. However, the line can be very thin. Whilst we are engaging our content advising recession, we shall equally be ordering pretty much on responses expected from this department. So if you can just keep that in the back of our minds. However, when those questions are finalized, we shall sift to which ones really can they. For instance, another question that came by, which did one of them, is a question related to the timing of the proclamation that shall also bring on board sanitation. You're not going to expect much from the researcher and content advisor on that one. It can only be the department that responds to that. Just give me one example.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Actually, I wanted to suggest, Honorable Chair, if that is possible, that in the near future, we must have a close kind of a session with the support staff of the committee. Because when we talk of clarity seeking questions, we need to dig more as members of this committee, even before we meet with the department. Because as you are saying now, other members will ask questions which might not be answered by your researcher and the first presenter, Mr. Wood. So if that could be allowed, let's have a closed session with our staff as a committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we agreed in previous meeting that if we don't have translators, that as far as possible we will speak English. Unfortunately, I did not understand the questions that have been asked. So if there is no interpreter, then we request that the Chairperson then inform the House what the question was. But it was on your request on the previous meeting. That's where we don't have the facilities, we don't deny people to speak the language of choice, but that everybody's been taken on board to understand what the questions are. And I think secondly, the proposal of the work, that we ask these questions to the department and not to our own researchers, and then move on with the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. My request is on the issue of the critical government priorities that the Secretary spoke about. That if how possible it is, if we can have just a summary of those agreements and treaties, because we are new here, we don't know all these treaties, and then if we have to refer to something, at least we should be knowing what it is. Each treaty in regards to the regional and the world interaction. And also, the content that involves the licensing. I had him speaking about the issue of general licenses that are issued to users and so forth and so on. So that we can look at the content, because it may find that other people have more power than us as users. And also this, Chairperson, I think there is the issue of, but you make one critical point of saying, sometimes when you look at some policies or acts of the board, you may find that these boards have got more powers than us here. We are just people who are select us, and they become people who take decisions. They do have the board's acts or board's policies, so that we are able to know what the boards are able to do and what our core functions are. Thank you very much.
I'm tempted, members, that at this juncture, with the response that will come, we immediately go straight to the department so that we bring both of those presentations together.
both the content advisor and the researcher, and also the department are over here with us. So responses can therefore come by as they are all going to be here. I also have my own question. Maybe just a quick one on the closed session in Tagalog. It can be quite a cumbersome exercise. Parliament is an open parliament wherein people have to come as they wish. We have to motivate as to why we need to have a closed session. And that motivation must really give, you know, meaningful sense as to why we need to have a closed session. But let's have that discussion later. But just as an indication, indirect response to the question. But as I said, we shall then have to take that discussion. But it has got its own experiences in the past as to when do you really have to have, and it has to be quite a very serious, compelling reason. It's not an easy discussion. It's not an easy one for us to have a closed session. I understand your issues and the concerns. People from the department can even come here anytime whilst we're having our own session. And ours simply must always be, by the way, it was also that closed session, it also involves trying not to be captured by the media. There are all complications about that closed session. But I would suggest that we have a different discussion, and not now, because it does not affect us directly now. Yes, there are insinuations to that effect. Well, what I would propose you do, members, because I also have a few other issues that I would have raised. Thanks for the question related to us being able to be accorded an opportunity for those treaties. I think that is from a researcher point of view. If you can circulate to us some of those so that we can get a sense of what is entailed in those treaties. Why don't we allow the department for now to proceed? We have those questions as they conclude their presentation. We shall be expecting everybody, including the research and the content advisor, to respond to the question. How does that sound? Is that fine? Okay. We shall request the handover to the department. Just a quick translation of the question that was asked by Mr. Carla.
Thank you.
She is the translator from Parliament.
Madam Kamula, Honorable Kamula requested that let us come here and do theories only. She agreed with the other members. And she stated that where she comes from, as from 1994, there's been no water, especially where she comes from in KwaZulu-Natal. When they did the door-to-door campaigns, there were places that had no toilets, that had no water. And as a committee, she pleads that you must commit yourself because people are drinking water with cows and cattle where they come from. And she requested the viewpoint in her. It's her first time to be here, and she's new. And where she comes from, they were promises that were made, but up to now there are no toilets, there are no water, people are suffering. Thank you, sir.
May I suggest that we take a 10-minute break as the department prepares itself? There is tea outside. Is it outside? Huh? Is the tea outside, sir? May I suggest that we take tea break? Coffee? The time now is almost 20 past, and we will be back here the latest by 6:30. In fact, we started half of it. Not exactly about half of it, but we started half of it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Pam Shadi, the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation. I'm with my team, led by the DG. He will be presenting, and I'm with my, I want to say my entities. My entities, all of them are here. DG will be dealing with three areas, overview of the strategic and annual performance plan, the overview on the budget, of the budget over the medium term, overview of monitoring and evaluation, and then overview of entities. I think they're all here, and I said to them, they must all come this side. If you don't have chairs that side, it's fine. But there are empty chairs here. You must face the members of parliament. Please, if there are any entities that are sitting that side, please have up these chairs, because you are supposed to be answering questions. People must look at you. The DG will introduce his team. Thank you very much.
Thank
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, good morning. I'm sitting on this side here, if I can indicate. Trevor Balter, I'm Acting DG for the Department of Water Affairs, and I'll come to the name in a moment. Honourable Chair, would it be appropriate if I get each member to introduce each of my team to introduce themselves, if you want me to just run through the list? We've got a team from the department, plus representation from the 14 entities that report to the Minister. Maybe for the first time, if I could ask your indulgence to having asked the question, it might be good to hear their voices and see who they are. So it's not just me doing all the talking. So, Chair, if I could just start with my colleague on the left here, and then we'll just run up and down as you front bench and then these benches as I go back. Thanks, Chair.
My name is Shoshone
Samalapu. You talk and then we pass. Time is not on our side. Thank you.
I think I'm on the wrong side. I'm just coming to attend the meeting. I'm from the Black Sash.
Tanega Bosava from Sekilin Water.
Cyril Kanete from Gain Water.
Edwin Taran in Sekilin Water.
Baba Lumanyarangasa, I am from the Department of Water and Sanitation, doing corporate planning and organizational performance.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Anil Singh. I'm the Deputy Director General for Regulation in the Department.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Eustacia Bofilatis, also from the Department of Water Affairs in Institutional Oversight.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Togo Sikwaza from Water and Sanitation.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Member. I'm the Bulub Sewa from Matola Water.
There's somebody in front of you. Thank you.
Morning, Chair Members. My name is Andile Mate. I'm DDG Infrastructure Water Affairs.
Morning, Chair Members. My name is Paul Mofuke. I'm the CFO Water Trading Entity of the Department.
Good morning, Chair and Members, Honorable Members. I'm Tazi Mfunda Kubu, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department.
Good morning, Honorable. My name is Deborah Muchoke. I am responsible for planning and information management in the Department of Water Affairs.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Matiso Nyembe from Rainwater, and I'm responsible for finance.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Peter Shamani. I'm the Chief Executive of Rainwater.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Jessica Naidu, CEO of the Water Research Commission.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'm Squire Mashalu. I'm responsible for corporate services in water and sanitation.
Morning, Chair and Members. My name is Colin Peter. I'm the Chief of Staff to the Minister.
Morning, Chair and Members. My name is Tele Moema, Special Advisor to Minister.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Matlakala Mutlu, DDG Communications.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I am Bamil Nuclear from Little Water. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Honourables. My name is Johan Kilian from the Peri Northern Water in the La Pompa province.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Roel Leroux, Macaulay Water.
Good morning, Chair and Members.
Honourable Chair and Members, my name is Sampai Mashamwa. I'm the CFO of Omgeni Water.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Sean Clarkson. I'm with the TCDA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Lennon Trazuma from TCDA.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Brian Dava, CFO of Omgeni Water.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Mboni Sandi Dlamini from Mahalis Water.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Otto Rapila, Mahalis Water.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. From my dear Honourable Members, my name is Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Padaman Dukile. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Brain Forest AA.
The challenge about you being that guy that you cannot hear it. Everything has to be recorded. So effectively you were not recorded. Having been there today. Let's allow the minister to come through.
Thank you, Chair. The DG will do the presentation. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, I think there's one of my colleagues sitting behind me who didn't introduce himself. If I could. He came in, he moved while we were trying to get the member, our staff to place the Honourable Member's chair.
Good morning, Chair and the Honourable Members. My name is James Lowe, Chief Executive Officer of Trans-Kalimantan Authority. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thank you very much. I'm going to take you through a series of slides which I understand have been copied for the members. There are in total a 183 odd slides, which I will not know, it's 190 odd slides, which I will not read every one of them in through in detail, Some of them I will summarize the information that's on them just to make sure that we get progress, make progress through the day. Chair, the presentation is essentially based on the two documents which we understood we would be dealing with today, and that's the annual performance plan. The acronym which I will be using through the presentation is the APP. The strategic plan, the SP for the department for the 2014-15 period and beyond, and then the estimates of national expenditure, both 38, which I will might frequently revert and refer to it as the E&E. But just for the benefit of members, Honourable Chair, the annual performance plan does have, and if I do inadvertently slip into using acronyms, on the at the front of the annual performance plan in from page 14 and 15, that's Roman 14 and Roman 15, we've got a list of all of the abbreviations and acronyms which we commonly use. So if you do get lost and I inadvertently revert to using an acronym, if you could just bear with me, and they are available there, Chair. The content of the presentation, I will deal with in five parts: the strategic overview, an overview of the strategic and annual performance plans, the budget over the medium term, the overview of the monitoring evaluation of the department, and then the overview of the entities. And those are the 14 entities we have sitting with us here today. Chair, just if I could just dwell quickly, and it relates to one of the questions that were asked in the preparatory session. Representing the budget yesterday, I'm representing the budget that was tabled as the appropriation bill in February this year, which relates to the Department of Water Affairs. In terms of the realignment which was announced by the Honourable President and the appointment of the Cabinet Ministers, where the ministers for the new Department of Water and Sanitation are Minister and Deputy Minister for Water and Sanitation, that process of proclamation to get the department renamed has not yet been completed. And I'll touch on it in one of the slides and just indicate the time frame. So legally speaking, we are still, as we sit here today, the Department of Water Affairs, albeit that we have a Minister of Water and Sanitation and a Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation. So we're going through those hoops of the transition from the organisation in the previous administration into the reorganised departments and ministries as announced by His Excellency the President. Chair, I'm not going to read this, but as we required in our strategic plan and APPs, annual performance plans, we need a vision mission, and we need a vision statement. So that is as we have it. You'll see that it relates to water in particular, and as we move forward and we revise our annual performance plan and the strategic plan with the transfer of functions, that vision and mission will have to change to reflect the sanitation component, which is part of the new department. The legislative mandate, and Chair, I'm not going to go through that in detail because your researcher and content advisor had touched on them as well. We have four principal pieces of legislation apart from the Constitution, which is our overarching piece of legislation. We have four principal pieces of legislation which guide the mandate for the department, the first one being the National Water Act, the second one being the Water Services Act, the Water Search Act, and the Public Finance Management Act. But given one of the questions that were asked earlier on with regard to tariffs, or the point made by the your contents advisor around tariffs or water boards, the tariffs or water boards are also dealt with under the Municipal Finance Management Act, the MFMA. So we also fall within the ambit of that act, and your contents advisor also made reference the Division of Revenue Bill. Every year there's a Division of Revenue Bill that's presented to Parliament, which eventually becomes a Division of Revenue Act, and that's the act which deals with all of the grant funding or grant financing programs across the sectors. And we have a number of programs which are funded through the Division of Revenue Act. Commonly, whenever we talk about that act, we refer to DORA. So Dora will not be one of the female members of my staff. That is the it's the act which we refer to. And you're very often in the in Parliament, the committee is just referring to the Dora. In terms of the policies and strategies, also referred to by your content advisor, white paper on national water policy in South Africa, the strategic framework for water services, the national water resources strategy, and that strategy was just approved last year. That's our water resources strategy 2, and then of course the raw water pricing strategy as well, which is currently under review. If I could just dwell, Honourable Chair, on the legislation in particular, there's one of the acts, the Water Research Act, which is going through an amendment process, and it was submitted to the previous Parliament, but was not concluded and taken forward for debate in the House and finalisation, although the full consultation process was followed, and that's the Water Research Amendment Bill, which I'm assuming the Honourable Chair will come to as one of those unfinished items for consideration by this committee. The other aspect which I must just bring into play is around legislation. We are also in the Department going through a legislative review process looking at the National Water Act and the Water Services Act, and will in all probability bring forward to Parliament a single act which will bring both of those acts together. Currently, there is an overlap, but it'll, from the work that we've done, it will make a great deal more sense that we have a single act that regulates water in South Africa. So that work is work in progress in the department and will be brought through. And in terms of the program, I do believe that we had indicated we would bring that draft bill through to Parliament once it's been through the cabinet process, bring it in during the fourth quarter of the first year of the Parliament. Chair, if I could then move on. And because we've got the four screens up, it's not going to be helpful if I use that pointer on one of them, but for the members, maybe I could look over my right shoulder and just use a pointer, just have it in there for my friends in front there, just so that I can take you through some of the slides, which are quite busy, but in the front. In a little bag in the front. Right in front. Chair, I will use the screen over my left shoulder just to point and out when I do point on any one of the slides. Chair, this slide here just shows an overview of the institutions which report to Minister, and there are 14 of them in all. All of the institutions are defined within the terms of the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act as well. So we first have on the left-hand side with the yellow block on the top are the catchment management agencies as part of Schedule 3A of the PFMA, and the two blocks which are coloured in there, the Beheer Gerards and the Nkomati Usutu, are CMAs which are already up and running. And I will deal with roles and functions of those CMAs later on in the presentation. The seven blocks below Limpopo, Pongola, down to the Vaal are CMAs which are still to be established over the next two-year period. The Limpopo and the Pongola and Mpumalanga, we've gone through the gazetting processes and are now into the process where we will be appointing the governing boards or going through that process of appointing the governing boards for those two. But the proto CMA responsibilities, even though they might not have been established, the proto CMA responsibilities are carried out by the department until those CMAs are established. Then going into the center area, we have the blue block there, which is the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority. That's the Schedule 2 entity in terms of the PFMA, which brings it into the classification of a state-owned enterprise, an SOE. You will very often have reference to the SOEs, of which Eskom typically and Transnet are SOEs in terms of that definition of the PFMA. So TCTA falls within that definition. Then we have the Water Research Commission, Schedule 3A of the PFMI, that is the entity that handles and coordinates most of the water research activities in the country. It's benchmarked internationally and does some very excellent work, and it's the act that regulates the work of the Water Research Commission is the one that I indicated that the amendment bill was already submitted to the previous parliament. Then we have the Komati Water Authority. That's one of that's an international entity. It's an entity that was established in terms of a treaty between South Africa and Swaziland, and there are two dams, one dam in South Africa, the Brinkopies Dam, and one dam in Swaziland, the Magula Dam, which are managed by that entity in terms of an international treaty. So the work of that entity, and I'll cover it later on, straddles Mpumalanga and into Swaziland. Sorry, Chair, water is a business, and I'm going to have a sip of water every now and again. I refer to it as being our house brand. And then on the right-hand side, in the orange block on the top, are the water boards, Schedule 3B of the PFMA, and I'm not here going to go into how that those 3A, 2, and 3Bs are determined in the PFMA, but that is described there, how they come into place. I think your content advisor flashed a copy of the PFMA and said this is an important document. Yes, indeed, the PFMA is one of the green colored documents. If you could just flash it up again, that one. No, that's not it. That's a parliamentary document. That one, there we are, the one with the orange, green and orange on the cover. So that document is an important document in terms of guiding the work that we do. We have 10 water boards, and we'll cover them in the presentation. The biggest water boards being Randwater and Gainey, being by far the biggest, and serving some of the major metropolitan areas, and the other ones serving some of the secondary towns and to a limited extent the rural areas. But I'll come to those in a bit more detail, Chair. Then just an overview, just to give a sense to the committee of the type of budget which this committee will have oversight on. The budget we're looking at for the current year is a budget of 38.1 billion, and that budget comes under in four areas. And on the spot at the bottom, and not usual, but this is the accountants normally start at the back, or when they're doing their financial statements, start at the back, so I'm going to do it in reverse as well. But the Department of Water Affairs, 12.4 billion, rising to 17.1 billion in the 2016-17. That is the budget that's appropriated through the appropriation bill, and will be dealt with in the budget debate, which takes place later this month, and then appropriated hopefully in Parliament, I think, around about the end of July. I can't recall the date. Then we have within the Department a trading operation, and that trading operation is the operation which manages all of the national infrastructure across South Africa, and it has a budget in the order of 10.3 billion, and that budget is realized through the sale of water, through water tariffs. So it's a self-funded operation through the water that is sold. There, and I'll come to it later on, there are some activities which are funded through augmentation from the main account, but in the main, the operation of those activities is funded through tariffs, which are determined in terms of the tariff strategy. Then we have the water boards budget this year of 11.6 billion. I'm not too sure why. I'm sure there must be a typo, but I can't believe that those budgets are there because of a reduction in capex, that in the outer year we've gone down by 3 billion, but I will check on that. It just looks very an anomaly for me. And I'll indicate the water boards, generally their work also and their operations is through the sale of water, so through tariffs which are considered and submitted to Parliament for approval. The TCTA, the Trans-Canada Tunnel Authority, a budget of 3.6 billion, that essentially relates to the projects which the TCTA handle by directive on behalf of the department, and we'll come into, we'll deal with in a bit more detail the loans which the TCTA manages in terms of the infrastructure that's been developed in the Lesotho Highlands. And the pie diagram just gives us in percentages. So Chair, that essentially is the budget that we will be dealing with. The next slide, I've just shown there just to give a sense of the staff within that budget, the staff that are managed in the department, 7,300 staff, the water boards come behind us, 5,900 odd staff, Water Research Commission 62, TCTA 146, Komati Basin 43, and the Catchment Management Agency is the two that established 65. So the work of the process EMAs, the staff that perform those functions, are counted within the Department of Water Affairs. Then just looking at the overview of the strategic and annual performance plans, I've just prepared a few blocks there just to indicate the factors that influence our planning process. And it's not in a hierarchy in any way, but it's just to indicate how we group together. So first of all, mandates coming from the Constitution and then the legislation which dictates the work that we do. Then we have the international agreements, and I'm going to just slip very quickly through to out of this slide presentation and just pull another one up. Where is it? I just want to show it to you. That one there. Just in terms of international agreements, I think it's good for the committee to have an appreciation. Where is the full slide? I'm a bit I'm fighting with the technology chip. Come on. There we go. Yeah. So we share rivers with our neighbours, and so it was six of our immediate neighbours, Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Namibia, Swaziland, and Zimbabwe. And there's a necessity that there are international agreements in place in terms of shared water course management with our neighbouring states. Because of the four catchments that are covered where we share with our neighbours, the land area of South Africa which falls into those shared catchments, 60% of the land mass of South Africa falls into that, and we get 40% of our water from those shared water courses. So the water that we manage in those common basins, they are managed under the auspices of international arrangements as well. The SADC protocol on selecting the South African Development Community, the SADC protocol on shared water courses, and there's also a UN convention, the United Nations Convention, which I, if my memory serves me correctly, is called the UN Convention on Non-Navigable Rivers, which deals with the shared water courses. So in terms of regulating our use there, there are a number of multilateral commissions and committees that have been established between South Africa and our neighbours, and one of your members during the preparatory briefing this morning did indicate that you would want to see some of those treaties that regulate the work that we do and that we can deal with in a future meeting, if that's okay with the Honourable Chair. So just to have a look at a map of the four water courses, you'll see that's the coloured areas there. The orange, yellow, green, blue cover the four basins which we share with our neighbours. You can see the extent of South Africa which falls into those basins, and it's just the eastern flowing rivers off the escarpment, which are totally South African rivers. So apart from those international agreements, we also have the Millennium Development Goals, and commonly referred to as the MDGs, and we are at the end of the period of those MDGs. 2015 is the closeout period for the MDGs, and currently we are involved at an international level led by the Department of International Relations, DIRCO, in terms of developing what might come out of the engagements on a global level as SDGs, or Sustainable Development Goals, and we commonly refer to that as our post-2015 development agenda on the international engagement platform. You've got the framework for climate change, and that's in terms of the UNFCCC, that's the United Nations, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which deals with all of the climate issues, and we have an input in there in terms of the water sector, and South Africa has a climate strategy in place, and for the department we deal with in our National Water Resources Strategy, the climate adaptation activities around our dams. I've already covered the Sustainable Development Goals. Then in terms of the government priorities, we have a National Development Plan, and there's a direct linkage between elements of the National Development Plan into our current budget, and the instruction moving forward is that there has to be the National Development Plan is the plan which will drive the budgets and the work of the department going forward. Then there's the MTSF, the Medium-Term Strategic Framework, of which there are 14 outcomes, and of those 14 outcomes, the department is covered, or water is covered in 5 of those outcomes. And then, of course, the New Growth Path, or the NGP, which is commonly referred to. I just want to go to those 14 outcomes quickly, where I find them. Sorry, Chair, I just want to show you those two slides quickly, just for the benefits of the committee, the outcomes. What we've done there, I showed the outcome, and I've abbreviated it to a certain extent, and the chapter in which it relates to in the NDP. So you can see that mapping. Chair, these slides I've just pulled up additionally aren't in the pack we've given you, but we will make copies of them and distribute them during the break, that all members have them. So the 14 outcomes are basic education, health, reducing crime and corruption, outcome 4, which is jobs, and that's one of the outcomes which the department has a direct input in. The 5 is skills, outcome 6 is economic infrastructure, another outcome which the department is referenced in a supporting cluster. Outcome 7, rural development, likewise department involved there. Outcome 8, sustainable human settlements, department involved there. Outcome 9, local government. Outcome 10, environment. Likewise, 9 and 10, the department involved. Outcome 11 is international. Outcome 12, public service. Outcome 13, social protection. And outcome 14, nation building and social cohesion. Now, those 5 outcomes which I mentioned, the outcomes 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are where you will see specific targets for the department within those outcomes. There isn't an outcome which deals specifically with water on its own, so we cover across those 5 outcomes, and those activities then translate eventually into the performance agreements for the executives of the department. Chair, and back to these slides, and I must apologize for moving around. It is quite difficult to put all of the information into one package. Interdepartmental programs, we've got seven key departments which we engage with: agriculture, forestry and fisheries, trade and industry, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, our Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, Department of Human Settlements, Department of Environment, and Economic Development. But that doesn't mean that we don't engage with the other departments, like the Department of Health, the Department of Higher Education, the Department of Basic Education. There are engagements with them as well, for argument's sake, with basic education, where they would be dealing with sanitation and water to schools, rural schools in particular, we would be involved in terms of norms and standards. Then in terms of implementation here, we have the PGDS, which is the Provincial Growth and Development Strategies, and the IDPs. And I'm just going to go to another slide, if I could just show it to you quickly, just so we see what the extent of the entities or the institutions we have to deal with there. Okay. Chair, that slide, I've just thrown it up. It just gives you an indication of the number of entities that are involved and have some role to play in water in the fabric of South Africa. I mentioned the 9 water management areas, or the 9 CMAs, which is a water affairs activity, the 12 water boards. Well, we are now down to 10. When the slide was prepared, there were 12. We are since going through the process of establishing Botello and the Bushbuck Ridge water boards. But the water boards, then of course, not of course, in terms of the the Act, you've also got 98 water user associations. Essentially, those are the organizations dealing with water at an agricultural level, and then the 150 water services authorities. Now, those 152 water services authorities are the local governments, those local government institutions that have been allocated the powers and functions in terms of the Municipal Systems Act to deal with water. So it's not every municipality in the country, Honourable Chair, that is a water services authority. It's a selection of them. So in some provinces, you'll find there's a district municipality which is a water service authority. In other provinces, it's only the local municipalities, and in others, it's a mix of both. It's quite a different fabric across the country. And then on the right-hand side there, I just indicate some of the water sector players, down from the water boards through to the private sector, where you've got the planning and design consultants, project managers, the banks in terms of financial management, contractors, equipment manufacturers, etc., and then some of our major stakeholders, being human settlements, corporate governments, energy, agriculture, etc., which I just show on that previous slide. Am I doing okay, Shulky? Sure. Shulky's directing operations over my left shoulder. And then, Chair, finally, and I did indicate that it wasn't a hierarchy that I was showing, is in terms of oversight, it's the National Assembly and the NCOP. What we must bear in mind, and it was raised by one of the members in the preliminary meeting as well, is that water is not a concurrent function. It's a national competence, so you won't see a water function within the provincial structure. But you will see water at the local government level, and that's in terms of Schedule 4B, I think it is, in terms of the schedule to the Constitution. Under that Schedule 4B, you will see the responsibilities of local government, and there it will indicate to you that local government has the responsibility for water, domestic water supply and domestic sanitation in that local context. So when we engage in water sector and we deal with the outcomes of government, you will find that there isn't a MINMEC or a ministerial and MEC's engagement that deals specifically with water. Water will be covered either in the MINMEC that deals with local government, or in environment, or the MINMAC that deals with agriculture and land reform. And so the department is quite spread out, and it is the intention of Minister Mokonyane to find a different framework for us to be able to engage with the water sector. And those MINMACs form are the monitoring forums for the government monitoring against the 14 outcomes. So we would be involved in those. In the enabling departments, which I show on the bottom chair, are the departments of performance monitoring and evaluation, and that's with particular reference to the 14 outcomes. The Department of Public Service and Administration in terms of our staffing, and then the National Treasury in terms of budgets and financial management. But here, just in one slide, a long story about how we interact and how we engage. I then put in here a strategy map, which I'm not going to go through in great detail, but we are implementing in the department a balanced scorecard. That just indicates the elements of that balanced scorecard, and the codification which you see in the balanced scorecard you'll also see in the APP. So across the top there you have the four goals, being an efficient, effective and development orientated sector leader. The second goal being equitable and sustainable provision of raw water, and your researcher and your content advisor more than once made reference to equity and sustainability in provision of water. Then, of course, the provisioning of equitable and sustainable water services of an acceptable quality and quantity. That's where we get into the local sector, and then protection of freshwater ecosystems, which is also a responsibility in terms of the National Water Act. Then we have, in terms of the scorecard, that's broken up into stakeholders, our customers, the operations issues, finance, and then at the bottom, employees or people. Honourable Chair and members, sometimes we will refer to water services. And when we refer to water services, if you go to the definitions in the Water Services Act, the definition of water services in most instances refers to water supply and sanitation. So when we go forward in terms of the legislative review, we will make sure that we have a better definition there as well, because there is some confusion, it does lead to some confusion where you have two fairly distinct activities, although they're water related, referred to under a single banner as such. So if at any time I talk about water services as opposed to water supply, by implication I'm referring to both water and the sanitation, and that's normally at a domestic or an industrial level. Chair, then we have mapped here for the committee, and it is also mapped in the annual performance plan, those four goals that we have against the priorities of government, the MDP and the Millennium Development Goals. And the Millennium Development Goals that in particular impact on the work that we do is Millennium Development Goal 1B, which is productive employment and decent work for all. Under Goal 2 is the MDG 7C, which is the sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. Under Goal 3, likewise, the outcomes of the MDG 7C there. And then Outcome 4, protection of freshwater ecosystems. The MDG there is MDG 7, which is around environmental sustainability. Then our strategic objectives, with that codification that you see there, you will read the same codes or the same numbering system you'll see in the annual performance plan. I'm going to get now onto the budget part. And Chair, the departmental budget programs, when you go into the estimates of national expenditure, the ENE, on Vote 38, you will see that the department, in a typical manner, as it is with all other departments, that the budget is broken down on a program basis. So program 1 being administration, 2 being water sector management, 3 being water infrastructure management, 4 regional implementation support, 5 water sector regulation, and 6 international water cooperation. I put a rubber band, and I'm going to call that a rubber band, around the program three, and that's where some of the financing comes for the infrastructure developments on the water trading entity. You'll recall when I spoke of the water trading entity, I indicated that it's a self-funding activity, but there's some augmentation funds which come through the appropriation into the water trading entity in terms of earmarked or funds specifically allocated for certain projects. And then, Chair, the box below in the, is that a peach color? I think it could be peach. Well, I'll call it peach for the purpose of this presentation. Those are the sub-programs which you will find in the E&E as well. And every department in the E&E will have a program one, which is administration. And then the other programs are dependent on the activities of the of that particular department. So our activities for the department are covered in the five programs, two to program six. See, I'm not going to go through every one of those blocks. It links back straight into the E&E. Just in terms of the operational arrangements for the departments, I showed earlier on the operational arrangements or engagement with regard to the entities. Now, likewise, the department, while it operates out of Pretoria, the department also has a provincial structure. So on the left-hand side, we just showed you that we have nine provincial offices. Those provincial offices are situated close to the provincial capitals. With Cape Town, just by way of example, or Western Cape, sorry, why do I call the province Cape Town? Western Cape, the office isn't in the bowl of the city centre, it's in Bellville. But in terms of the other areas, and likewise in Gauteng, the office is in Pretoria rather than in Johannesburg. Other than those two, the offices are pretty close to the provincial legislatures. Then within our construction and our operations of our major infrastructure, we also have a clustered arrangement where we have four major construction sites which deal with the infrastructure development stretching from the north to the south of the country. Typically, this southern construction unit would be the one that would be involved in was involved in the Berg River Dam development down in the Western Cape, and will be involved in the Cam William Dam, where we will be raising the wall of the Cam William Dam down in the Western Cape. Then we have the operational clusters, and that is the infrastructure associated with our national infrastructure, with 350-odd dams that we manage, plus the associated pipelines, pump stations, canals, and treatment facilities spread across the country. And that we organize on four broad clusters. They're not provincially based because water and the infrastructure doesn't respect an administrative boundary. We've got to take water, we manage water across provincial boundaries, and across municipal boundaries, and the infrastructure, likewise, we put it in a way which is the most cost-effective. So if I use the supply area from Lesotho, for argument's sake, the Lesotho Highlands water project situated in Lesotho, but that water finds its way into the Ash River, the Wilga, into the Sandfontein Dam we provide as well, into the Vaal River, eventually Vaal Dam, and that water finds its way to Mpumalanga, to Free State, through to Northwest and Limpopo. It crosses boundaries, and we manage that water around the way it's best to cluster the infrastructure management rather than on a provincial boundary. Chair, then coming to the sanitation function, which is a sanitation under the announcement by His Excellency the President around the transfer or the establishment of a new department. There's a project which is in place, which you will have reference, I'm sure, at some stage. It's called the NMOS, which is a National Macro Organization of the State project, and that's a project which is dealing with the realignment of departments in terms of the realigned administration, which His Excellency the President announced when he announced the cabinet. There's a national steering committee which is managed from the presidency under the chair of the DG in the presidency, DG Cassius Lubisi, and then on a national level, the DPSA have a national task team which covers the work of all of the departments involved, and then at the departmental level, I as a county officer for the department manage a departmental task team which will have my department and human settlements as part of that task team handling the sanitation transfer in particular. And we organize ourselves typically in 6 work streams, running from organizational scoping right down to dealing with the labor relations, change management and communication, and then chair the project plan that was established. And I haven't amended this project plan, but I'll talk around the slippage which has happened. This is the generic project plan which has been put in place for all of the transfers that are happening across departments. The one area where there's slippage is in the third line, which is the transfer of legislation and administration to ministers. Now, that requires a proclamation which would be signed off by the president, and that assigns legislation to particular ministers if there are changes in terms of those ministries. That proclamation hasn't yet been finalized. It should have been finalized by the 27th of January, and there's a second parallel proclamation which is published in terms of the Public Service Act, which renames the departments. And that's why up front I indicated that as we sit here legally, I'm representing a Department of Water Affairs. Once that proclamation comes in place, then we'll be water and sanitation. It looks like we will lose the affair out of the current naming, so it'll be water and sanitation, Chair. The long-term intention is that all of this work, you'll see that there are a number of target dates for the 26th of September. So the intention is to have this whole restructuring and realignment finished by the 26th of September, and Chair, that would then mean that when the committees of Parliament consider the Adjustment Appropriation Bill in September and October this year, you'll be able to sign off on the budgets that be transferred from the transferring department into the receiving department, and it would be at that time, that stage, where sanitation would come in under the control of the accounting officer of that new department. In my case, I refer to it as Department of Water and Sanitation. So I hope that addresses one of the questions that were asked up front. So that's where we are at the moment. Ongoing work, and there's a progress report that is put out by the presidency on the work that has been done. But I thought, Chair, just for just to indicate that we don't have responsibility for sanitation as yet, it's going to be transferred to us. We have been involved in the work with the Department of Human Settlements, where in particular the Department of Human Settlements were dealing with the bucket eradication program. That's the 88,000 buckets across the country which were being eradicated. And through arrangements between the ministers responsible for water and environment at the time, the Minister for Human Settlements and the Minister for Culture, there was a troika set up which was managing and coordinating the bucket eradication program. And through savings on our own budget, we made 260 million rand available across those three provinces, Free State, Limpopo, Northwest and Northern Cape, to get the program up and running while National Treasury was sorting out the authorizations to top slice one of the grant programs through their own budget. I must just indicate, Chair, that the Department of Human Settlements, based on a directive that was given by the Minister to the water boards to get involved in the sanitation program, the Department of Human Settlements, the accounting officer of the Department of Human Settlements, has entered into an agreement with each of the water boards to act as an implementing agent for the bucket eradication program. So at the moment we have our water boards through that agreement arrangement reporting to the accounting officer in human settlements around the BEP program, that's like a eradication program. So Chair, that doesn't, I'm sure, that doesn't give the full picture, but just to indicate that we are not oblivious of what's going on out there and we are very much involved in it. I'm now going to come to the main account, and this is what you will find in the, give me the page number, Babawa, from page. From page 8 onwards, in the annual performance plan, you will find a similar table to this in the annual performance plan, which gives the sub-program, and the one that's up on the screen there at the moment is the one on corporate services, that gives the indicators that indicate our targets for this year and the rationale behind those targets. And just in relation to the question that was asked about our contribution towards economic development and skills, I think if I understood the question correctly, on line 3A and line 3B there, you'll see that that's our the work of our academy, where during the current year we in fact intend to take additional 50 graduate trainees into our academy. In fact, I had the fortunate position to be able to welcome 25 of those graduate trainees. We started in our program on the 30th of June, this past Monday, and that was trainees who had finished their tertiary education covering engineering, the scientific fields of hydrology, environmental management, and in land survey. And then as a second target there, you'll see that we are looking this year to place 40 of our trainees. So we have trainees at various stages of their life in the academy, and we're expecting to have 40 of those coming out of their training cycle in the academy, and they would then be placed with the department. It's a very successful program, and I do believe that it's adding a huge amount of value in terms of building a cadre of technocrats who will make a difference in terms of water management in this country going forward. Then we have under financial management chair, quite a difficult one in that if I had to put a target in there of under 100% in any one of those, I would be declaring up front that I don't intend to comply with the financial requirements of the PFMA. So yes, we've got to put the 100% in there. We have particularly around the compliance issues, we're working towards achieving that 100%. Let me just go back there. Compliance expenditure. Yeah. Okay. So, Chair, I can't do any otherwise. I'm 100%.
Member, sir, we are now literally 1 hour. Have been listening to Mr. Blazer.
Balsam.
D-A-L.
Sorry, Chair.
I shall be guided by yourself. We are still going to go through each of those programs, which are six. And at the end, we shall still having to be going through the entities. There's 14 of them. But two of, what do you call them? The placement management agencies. Now, I shall guide it. What I want to propose we do, quite important is for us to go through all these programs so that we get a sense of what the plans are, having been budgeted for. It is information that we have in front of ourselves. Great pity that we received late, unfortunately. In fact, if we can adopt an approach that's going forward,
Such information, we must receive it a week at least in advance, so that members are able to find time to go through and prepare. Again, as I said, I shall be guided by ourselves here as to how best we want to deal with. As I was saying, my proposal would be that having heard that introduction on the department itself, there are figures that are there that are equally very important, because those are the relevant things that our task here is about doing an oversight of playing an important role on the extent in which the planning and the money that go into it are indeed, you know, because we've heard our content advisor and also our researcher here making statements to the effect that in previous years there has been an issue about qualified reports. Yes, there have been some improvement. Of course, also another equally important area here that better of us in dealing with any planning by the department. For us, it is also to familiarize ourselves with the annual report of the previous financial year or two, so that we are able to make a sense of whether or not we are indeed going to have plans that are going to be achievable. Because that annual report is to inform you of progress for, which is a year or two. I throw it at members for us to... Shall we allow the department to go ahead? And we must also be able to say to ourselves, let's raise ourselves for another 12 hours.
Chair, can I ask whether we're going to back for, say, at 1 o'clock for lunch, or we're going to push through? And maybe we should go ahead at 1 o'clock, and then maybe there should be a few questions. We should back it up. And then on what has been presented for lunch, there are some questions on that, and let them then proceed. And I agree that we don't need to get everybody back. But there should be a follow-on on the annual reports, and maybe the relevant people should then attend that meeting so that we can scrutinize that. That would be my suggestion, that after today's meeting, there should be a follow-on meeting where we can scrutinize the previous year's annual reports, and then not wasting money getting everybody back here to do it, just a small group on that report.
Unfortunately, this is the only chance that we have. We are guided by processes, because there's been, it is to be expected here, a debate on this, and also a report having to compile. So the issues related to 3-day rule for that report to be processed through, for it to appear on the, what is called, ATC. Now those, in the current, but what I was supposed to do, we have the six programs. You have already started with program one. If you can summarize that part of those six programs, have made the highlights without getting into the detail. You have the copies in front of ourselves. And then we go through the entities themselves. So that's when we really manage to round up issues, which then shall allow us more time to engage with the report itself, with the plans themselves. Mr. Carter?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I wanted to support you that the presenter must just summarize on the part of programs. But I'm having a problem already. I'm not sure whether we are having the same documents as the presenter presenting there.
because for instance, if you go to your slide number 7, I'm not sure whether I don't see figures clearly. Your total in your slide is 43 million, I mean billion, if I'm not mistaken. But in our document, it's 31 billion, comma something. Could I be assisted on that one?
Okay, I think in principle what we are agreeing upon is that we do a summary, of course, as we said and agreed upon that there are specifics like those that we will respond to. We have the copies in front of ourselves, which we shall then have to make use of those as we go through reading, and then respond accordingly out of all the questions that are going to come from members. Okay, that was just one example. I'm sure there should be a few other examples. Okay?
Slides. Just my apology that we'll circulate a corrected slide. I picked up last night while I was checking through slides that there was an error there and we corrected the error. So we'll circulate the one that I've flashed up. So administration, I'm through with. The next program is in terms of water sector management. Under that program of water sector management is really a chair where we deal with the resource management in terms of protection, use, development, conservation, and doing all of that in a sustainable manner. And that's what those that program sets out to do. So typically within that, you will also see our monitoring activities. If you look at strategic objective 4.2, is where we're monitoring the river gauging stations and the groundwater stations from a usage and a quality point of view. So we've got quite an extensive network across the country dealing with collecting information, interpreting information, and helping us with our planning going forward. The institutional oversight, that's a unit within the department where we do the oversight of the entities. We, on an annual basis, appraise their business plans, and we also have quarterly reviews that come back to us from those entities. We review their annual reports when they get submitted to Parliament, and that is all done within that particular sub-program, institutional oversight. So the numbers there relate to the institutions that we manage. Water sector management, program 2 is our water use authorization. One of the activities there, second line, and I'm just going to pick out the critical, all critical, but the more critical ones earlier on in the presentation this morning, the content advisor made reference to the department's water use licenses, and that falls within this area of water use authorization. And I will touch later on, well, I could be able to respond to questions, particular questions around licensing. Then there's the policy and strategy unit where the work on the revision of the natural water resources strategy and the revision of the legislation would take place, and also the monitoring of the implementation of our strategy. And finally, in terms of quality of the resources, the water ecosystems, and that's around quality management, river systems, determined resource quality objectives. Those resource quality objectives are standards which we would put in place in terms of acceptable water quality in those rivers, monitor and then take action against transgressors against those standards which are put in place. Chair, if I could just maybe to preempt some questions that might arise out of water use authorizations and a licensing, is it to indicate that any water user in South Africa is subjected to having a legal use of that water?
And under the old Act of 54, which we had pre-94, you had reference in that Act to what is called riparian water use. And when the new Act came into being in 98, that riparian use was replaced with entitlement. So, and that entitlement is subject to conditions and time frames. So it becomes an authorized use in terms of a new Act. But one of the sunset arrangements that came through from the 54 Act into the new Act is that anyone who had a water use pre-94, that was recognized as what we call an ELU, an existing legal water use, and so you in effect recognized the rot that anyone had pre-94. The dilemma that we're sitting with, and that's through the policy process which we are following, is that you do have organizations, individuals, entities who are sitting with water which they have a legal use to, but aren't necessarily using that water. And we've got to find through our policy process how we free up that water for alternative uses. And if you look at, and I don't have a pie diagram to show you at the moment, but 60% of our water is used for agricultural purposes, around about 27% is used for urban and domestic use, 7% for mining, 7% for energy, and there's an amount that goes into the ecosystem, bringing us up to that 100%. So by far the largest water users in the country is the agricultural sector, which is just spot above 60%. Chair, then moving on to regional implementation and support, and you must just excuse me with jumping the program 3, which deals with our infrastructure. I'll deal with that when I deal with the trading entity. But Chair, this particular program is where most of our projects at the municipal level are implemented, and you'll see there, I'll just use this slide, you'll see in terms of our projections on the infrastructure we develop, we project this year that through that infrastructure development we will create 2,441 jobs, and that's around the 82 schemes that are under construction, the 10 bulk schemes that will be finished this year, and the new wastewater treatment works, which are also under construction. And if you go to the APP, the Annual Performance Plan, on page 52, you will see that there's a listing on page 52 on table numbers, unfortunately. So there's a table there on page 82, which lists all of the projects, the 83 of them, which are under construction or about to be completed during this year. Those are all listed there. Those are projects which I will just show you how they're funded in a moment or two. But those 82 projects that I refer to there are listed in that table. And Chair, we would be able to give you the detail around each of those projects as well, if required. Next slide. We also, there was comments, I think, made around water conservation and demand management, water use. So through one of our programs, which we refer to as the War on Leaks program, there's another 5,900 jobs which will be created during the year, and that's very much at the local municipal level and at the household level where we are dealing with water wastage. There was a substantive piece of work that was done by the Water Research Commission across all municipalities in South Africa, where we determined that our water losses or unaccounted for water in the domestic sector is in the order of 37%, and that cost the economy something like, if I got my figures right, about 7 billion rand per annum in water that's produced, but you don't get any productive use out of it because it's wasted. And through programs such as this one on the War on Leaks and also through the Municipal Infrastructure Grant Program, and also through our Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program. We give support to municipalities to help them to deal with water conservation and demand management. We also participate in the metros on those programs as well, and have had very active participation in Ekurhuleni, City of Joburg, City of Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, and Mangaung. The other area of regulatory activity, Chair, is around the blue and the green drop, and that's where we do the risk assessment around the wastewater treatment plants across the country, where we monitor some 831 wastewater treatment works in the green drop, and I think in excess of 1,200 water systems in the on the water delivery side for compliance. And it's a regulatory, self-regulatory process where the municipalities are involved with. And I can, if we pull up the slide, if I've got a slide, I can, when we deal with questions, just pull up one of the slides which shows the profile across the country. Chair, that particular item there is where we would 4.2% of interventions. We do have a rapid response unit in the department where we also use our entities to be able to step in where there are breakdowns of services to deal with those water quality and effluent incidents. And we estimate on item 43 there, and that would also start responding to the question raised by the Honourable Member from the EFF in the number of households which would be provided during the current financial year through our interim water supply program. We have a grant program which is referred to as the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant, and that's trying to close that gap of the 4.7% of the population, or 700,000 households in the country who since 94 have still not been serviced with any infrastructure. And that's what that program is intended for. And you can see of the 700,000 households that don't have access yet during the current year, we would be covering 144,000 households. And that focuses on the 24 district municipalities across the country which are requiring the biggest interventional, which have the lowest levels of capacity, and that essentially is in the Eastern Cape, KZN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and two district municipalities in Northwest, one in the Free State, and one in Northern Cape. So those 24 district municipalities have been identified, and we're giving focused attention to those. The institutional establishments, that's part of our program for where we are dealing with resource-poor farmers, and you can see some of the targets there in terms of the job opportunities that could be created through our support to resource-poor farmers. This ties in with outcome 7. The rural development outcomes, so you'll see these targets reflected also in a rural development outcome where we are creating job opportunities through that resource per farmer program, rainwater harvesting, and also an adopt a river program. And you can see the number of rainwater tanks we would expect to put up for food production during the current financial year. Water use authorizations, I've touched on that already. And then, of course, the integrated catchment management is the 117 rivers that we will be targeting this year for our river health program. My water management, Chair, that relates to an extent mainly to the acid mine drainage in the Witwatersrand area, the central, the western central and the eastern basins, where we've been putting in a program to deal with the rising acid water, and that relates to our target to deal with that work. Now, when we come to the budget, if you see the budget line, you'll see there's a zero on the budget line, and I'll point that up to you when I get there. Reason for that is that the work that was funded through the fiscus
has been completed, and we now, through approval from the Minister of Finance, are going down a route of raising the budget to complete that work off budget, so it will come through financing through the financial institutions. The economic and social regulation, okay, we now program five water sector regulation. We are working on the pricing strategy. That draft pricing strategy was submitted to Cabinet last year. There were some issues raised by Cabinet which we need to take up, and once it's been through the Cabinet cycle, we'll then come to the Portfolio Committee, where we will present it to the Portfolio Committee to take that strategy forward before we move into any gazetting process. Under the water and sanitation regulation part, we already touched on the blue drop and the green drop. This is where the regulatory activity takes place under the program 4. I touched on where we actually do the implementation plans to deal with support to municipalities. So on the compliance side is the evaluation of dams for safety purposes, monitoring of compliance of water users in terms of their license condition, and we indicate the numbers that we will target during the year as well. In our final program, Chair, Program 6, which is International Water Cooperation, and that just reflects the number of what we call strategic partnerships, but those are countries which we engage with under the auspices of the Department of International Relations, where there might be bi-national agreements through those bi-national agreements there might be a separate memorandum of understanding dealing with water cooperation between ourselves and those countries as part of the broader international agenda. So, Chair, that covers the main accounts. I'll just cover the water trading entity, and I'm not going to go through the programs in the same detail, but the indicators and the targets very much similar. But through the water trading entity, that's where we manage all of our bulk infrastructure, and we also deal with new infrastructure developments. Under the main account, I've looked at it at the municipal level. Under this program, we deal with infrastructure developments at a national level. If you go to the sub-program on infrastructure development, you'll see the number of jobs which we intend or hope to project to create through the implementation or building that infrastructure, 4,000 odd jobs, and then we list the percentage that we need to we target to reach in terms of the implementation of those projects. And they listed there the WIP projects, Olifants River, the bulk distribution system, the Mokolo River augmentation, which is a project which takes water through to Madupi, the raising of the Hazelmere Dam on the Mzuzi River in KZN, raising of Clan William Dam here in Western Cape, the Greater Letaba River, the Nometra Dam, the new Nometra Dam, the raising of the Tsimine Dam, and those are all listed there, and those projects are some of them funded by augmentation, and then when we deal with the TCTA, we'll just reflect on the projects which are funded off budget. Chair, what's of importance here around the integrated catchment management, the CMAs are also not funded through the FISCUS, they're funded through tariffs raised at a water management charge, and you'll see there that we are going through a validation process, and that's validating the 11,500 odd water users that we have on our database, which contributes towards the funding of our activities, not only in the CMAs, but also in the management of our infrastructure. Then just showing the budget. Chair, I won't go through that in detail, but I did mention that that's the 12.4 billion, which will, hopefully with your support, will be appropriated to the department across the six programs, and I indicate how that is split across the department. We then also show that by economic classification, a requirement in terms of the EME, where we show the announcements on compensation, employees, goods and services, interest, transfers, and subsidies, and payment for capital assets. This slide here is one that will be is an interesting slide in that that slide just shows as a breakdown the part of the budget that goes into the development of infrastructure. So of that 12.48 billion, only 29% of the budget is used for our operational and our water resources management responsibilities. 71% of the budget goes into infrastructure development. And I've taken you to page 52 of the ADP. If you also go to, I think, page 80, is a listing of the projects which are, where are they? Come on, am I on the right page? Sorry, page 78 is a listing of the projects which are being implemented through the Water Trading Entity under our trading account. And you'll see those projects where they are. Some of them are in construction. Some of them at the time that we submitted our plan were in feasibility stage. Others were in design stage. And the budget for those is shown in the more detailed budget for the trading operation. So we have three areas, 8%. Goes into conditional grants, 43% is to specifically and exclusively appropriated, and then earmark funding. So what it means, Chair, is that as a accounting officer, I have very little latitude without consultation with National Treasury of moving any funds between those three segments. There's latitude within that area where we are might move funds from one project which is poor performing to a project which is better performing so that we spend the budget, but certainly not a latitude without National Treasury endorsement for movement between any one of those other sectors. And you'll see in the E&E that those they reference around the specifically exclusively appropriated that relates to the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the water services operating facility and the municipal water infrastructure grant, and the conditional grants being water services as well and the municipal infrastructure grant. Now, the reason that you see that split, where you've got conditional grants there and you've also got conditional grants under the specifically and exclusively appropriated, is because of the nature of the Division of Revenue Act, where you've got Schedule 5 and Schedule 6 within the Division of Revenue Act, where funding would go directly to a municipality for the implementation of the project, or alternatively the project would be implemented by the department and its agencies on behalf of the municipality. And that's why you'll see that split. It relates to the provisions within the Division of Revenue Act. Chair, then, in terms of, we then give you a breakdown of the budget by program, showing how the budget is allocated at the sub-program level, which I won't go through in detail. The spending plans, Chair, just to give the committee a sense of comfort, I hope, that our readiness plans are in place, they align to the demand plans to ensure that spending is aligned with our strategic objectives. We monitor and we'll have monthly and quarterly reviews of the financial performance and our actual performance, monthly reviews of the financial performance, and we have quarterly performance reviews on the predetermined objectives. And that's against the payment schedules which are the demand plans for both the infrastructure build program and the earmarked funding. And I just show you what the municipal infrastructure grant on Schedule 5, that's in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, how those transfers will happen across the quarters. And you'll notice here that those transfers are aligned, we then work the budget and align it to the municipal financial year. There's on those grant programs, while we get the grant in a national government financial year, which is from April to March, the spending at the municipal level and the allocation of funds to the municipalities is set in terms of municipal financial year, which is from the 1st of July to the 30th of June each year. So we're 3 months out of kilter, and it is also worthwhile mentioning that the water boards operate on a similar financial year. They operate on a financial year that matches the municipalities. The 6B schedule or Schedule 6 under the municipal infrastructure grants, municipal infrastructure grants, and then the operating subsidy. Let me just touch on the operating subsidy, Chair. There was at 94 from the transition from the into the new democratic dispensation, a lot of infrastructure that had been managed by the provincial administrations and the former homelands was transferred into the departments and warehoused there, if I could put it that way, until around about 2000, year 2000, where a policy was taken in line with the second stage of the transformation of local governments, that those that infrastructure that was seen to be local government infrastructure that was transferred to local government. And as part of that transfer arrangement was an arrangement to transfer the budgets and the staff and a portion of budget which is put aside for refurbishment of that infrastructure after assessment. Thanks, Chiang Kachin. An assessment that was done. So that's what that proposal relates to. ACIP is our infrastructure, community infrastructure grants, and this is where we would do quite a bit of the refurbishment and the support to municipalities around some of the wastewater treatment works. Our big, and then I do some projections. Chair, this is just our projections through to the current financial year, our spending projections as we stand. Let me then just go on to the trading accounts. The funding source for the trading account is a certain amount, about $1.9 billion, which comes from the augmentation from the main account, the collection of revenue from water users, the operational expenditure and revenue-funded projects, and then our construction unit, which I referred to, does also do construction on our regional bond projects and other construction activities which have to be self-funded. So that is on an invoice basis. Let me just show you the budget. The budget for the water trading entity, you've got a budget of 10.3 billion rand, which is projected on our best estimates on income that could be generated. And what you will see at the bottom of the page there is that there's a 2.5 billion, which we refer to as a surplus or deficit. The allocation of that surplus or deficit will only be made as we are able to confirm that we meet our income targets. So it's really very dependent on the behavior of the users that take water to us. And that's prioritization through there will be done in liaison with the minister and then feed back to portfolio committee as well. Data age analysis, we give you some indication there of our current debtors. I won't go through that in detail, but we have I want to quote the debtor policy, Port just helped me again now. Sorry, credit control policy, sorry about that. Our credit control policy, we've put a rigorous process in place to make sure that we're able to recover old debt and also make sure that current debt doesn't go into arrears. And that's why we're able to actually project on a surplus which we'll be able to reallocate. And this is, Chair, in terms of our previous audit findings, was a particular bone of contention where we didn't have effective credit policies in place. Just to show the where the funding comes from, sorry, I said 1.9 billion, 2.7 billion, so for the record, let's correct that 2.7 billion that comes against those earmarked projects, and on top of that, you will have that to 336 million. Then in terms of the that 2.5, we just indicate how it is broken down. That ECC 6 at the bottom there, that's the upgrade of our enterprise resource system, enterprise resource program, sorry, ERP, which is SAP, which we use as the platform for management of our trade account. Chair, then I would be able to get onto readiness for spending, likewise similar to what I did for the main account, ready to spend, bank and quarterly reviews will be done as well. And then I would get onto the overview of the strategy management in the department. Chair, that is quite a long section.
Sorry. Members, we have that presentation, and obviously there is a number of questions. We shall also be allowed to engage even in questions on areas that he has not as yet touched on. We are at liberty to do that. What else propose we do as of now? We got for break, there is lunch at that time, and perhaps 10-15 minutes at the moment. And then we'll come back, and I promise that we shall even finish earlier than the 5 o'clock we're set for ourselves. Without a waste of time, I'm sure my time here says we are now 10 after 1. It can be back in. It can actually start at 20 to 2. Not be bad, but start at 20 to 2. Thank you.
Monday also nothing.
Don't complain, you're getting away from us.
Thank you. The meeting is we're having lunch right now. They talked about the thing. I'm not sure, and I don't know how. They thought it was actually about the thing. It was a preliminary presentation. I was here about the thing, so I probably caught most of it. Yes. But they're having a half an hour break, and they're starting again. They said they'd finish, well, before 5. But I'm not sure whether I'm going to be, whether I'm going to leave now or later. And just, what do you think? No. I'll have a look for her, see if she's here. And we just broke in class. Okay, so she's here. Okay. I will do that. That's fine. We'll do that. Okay, cool. Thanks, Ed. Bye.
And I'm also adding to the
hello. So I've got a copy of this major meeting that you've given now from them. There's nothing else that I need, because you said the other presentation was an internal presentation, is that right? Okay, I'm going to wait for the other monitor, he will be coming to it doesn't from them. Nice to meet you. See you. Bye, my dear.
Thank you. Because I dare not switch it off.
It's still going. If you want to stop it and carry on, that's fine, but I don't want to stop it.